This is Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, your daily voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. And now, here's your host, Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome once again to Washington Watch. Coming up, as anticipated, President Trump making an historic announcement today. The United States will move its embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, the capital of Israel. And how long can Congress continue to fund the government on what's called continuing resolutions? Congressman Mark Meadows of North Carolina will be here to answer that question and weigh in on the move of the U.S. Embassy. Also, noted Middle East expert and former Middle East reporter for CBN, Eric Steckelbeck, will be here with his analysis of the move of the U.S. Embassy to Jerusalem. Also, executive chairman of Breitbart News and former White House chief strategist in the Trump administration, Steve Bannon, will join us with the backstory on this historic announcement today. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, at T. Perkins, all right? At T. Perkins. Daily information on what's happening here in our nation's capital. Hey, just as a reminder, we continue our year-end matching pledge. Through the end of December, any amount you donate to FRC receives a matching gift from a very generous donor. And, of course, your gift supports our efforts to bring you this program. We receive no government money, no advertising dollars. It comes to you based on partners like you across this country. And you can make a donation. Partner with us. Call 866-FRC-RADIO, 866-FRC-RADIO. We've got folks standing by to take your call during the course of this program. All right, earlier today, President Trump announced in recognition of Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, the U.S. will move its embassy from Tel Aviv. Also, Congress, as I mentioned, has a habit of running the government via a series of short-term spending measures called continuing resolutions rather than full-year appropriations bills. The country nears the expiration of yet another continuing resolution at the end of this week with no long-term budget deal in sight. This is not a good way to do business. On December 8th, another CR will be necessary to avoid a government shutdown. With us now to discuss these important pressing matters is the chairman of the House Freedom Caucus, Congressman Mark Meadows. He represents the 11th Congressional District of North Carolina. Congressman, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Hey, it's good to be with you, Tony. Thanks so much, and look forward to talking with you and your listeners today.
Well, big news. You and I have actually been talking about this offline for the last couple of weeks. But the president today announcing that the United States, recognizing Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, would begin the process of moving the embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. How significant is this?
Well, obviously, there are times in history where you remember leaders, whether they be U.S. presidents or foreign leaders, who make statements that have the way of defining history as we know it. Today was one of those moments. I mean, for the president to announce that Jerusalem is indeed recognized as the capital of Israel and that they're moving the embassy, especially on the 50th anniversary of reunification of the nation of Israel, is a historic moment. Now, the follow-through on that is critical. I believe the president is committed to doing that. And so whether it is many in the Jewish community or certainly many in the evangelical community, they're applauding this move as not only a historic move, but one that follows up on a campaign promise that the president made when he was asking for our vote.
And the Prime Minister of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu, very pleased with this announcement as well. Here is just a clip of what he had to say earlier today.
This is a historic day. Jerusalem has been the capital of the Jewish people for 3,000 years. It's been the capital of Israel for nearly 70 years. It was here that our temple stood, our kings ruled, our prophets preached. Jerusalem has been the focus of our hopes, our dreams, our prayers for three millennia. From every corner of the earth, our people yearn to return to Jerusalem, to touch its golden stones, to walk its hallowed streets. So it's rare to be able to speak of new and genuine milestones in the glorious history of this city. Yet today's pronouncement by President Trump is such an occasion. We're profoundly grateful for the president for his courageous and just decision to recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel and to prepare for the opening of the U.S. Embassy here. This decision reflects the president's commitment to an ancient but enduring truth, to fulfilling his promises, and to advancing peace.
Congressman Mark Meadows, does this strengthen the relationship between the United States and Israel?
Oh, without a doubt. I can tell you, I talked to Ambassador Ron Dermer several days ago in anticipation of this particular announcement that we knew was coming. Not only is it well received by a lot of citizens in Israel, but it's well received by those here in the United States who love Israel and see it as the strongest ally that we have in the Middle East. You know, there's certainly going to be repercussions with that, all kinds of people saying that it is abandoning the peace process, but nothing could be further from the truth. I can tell you at this point, to take this off of the table actually hopefully translates into a situation where we can not only continue to negotiate for peace between the Palestinians and the Jewish people in Israel, but make sure that we continue to make it a priority. I think the president was clear on that. But it's an exciting day, a historic day, and obviously one that will be remembered for generations to come.
You know, Congressman, I think this is actually puts the president in a much stronger position to negotiate for peace, because I think right out of the gate, it shows that, look, you're not going to bully us. You're not going to intimidate us. This is what America wants to do, and America is going to do it. And so I think this gives strength to further commitments or challenges or threats that he puts out there in this process, that they're going to say, hey, this guy, you know what? He's not like what we've seen before. He's liable to do it.
Oh, I agree. And so what you're seeing is a president who's willing to not only do the bold things, but he's willing to step out of the mold of typically what we've been with State Department opinions that matter little. And as we work this through, I think we're going to see a whole lot of other wins, not only in the peace process, but other wins as it relates to our position in the world internationally.
All right, Congressman, I want to shift gears real quick, because a lot of other things happening here domestically, including funding the government. The Freedom Caucus trying to get a longer continuing resolution, that short-term spending measure that the government's been running on a series of for quite some time. That was unsuccessful, so we're going to see a short-term CR, which is, you know, not a good way to do business.
Well, it's not a good way to do business. I do think we'll see a short-term CR. No one wants a government shutdown right before Christmas. But the other part of that, Tony, is this. At some point, we're going to have a longer-term strategy, and that's what we're working on behind the scenes. In fact, just had conversations just a few minutes ago about, you know, what's the long-term strategy? If this is play one, what is play two, three, four, and five? Because the American people are tired of our military being held hostage with not only budget caps but CRs and the like. But the other part of that, Tony, is this. They don't run their homes this way. Why should we run the largest economy in the world this way? And so we're fighting vigorously, but working, trying to work hand in glove with leadership to find a good plan that would actually get us into next year without bankrupting America.
So, Congressman Meadows, as you look at these short terms, and of course you're going to have a short term, it's going to back it up right to Christmas. So you're going to have that as a backstop. Everybody wanting to get out of town. Is there concern that there's going to be, some bad stuff in the CR, or less than responsible stuff in this CR?
Yeah, I in this first short term, no. But in the next one, there's a real concern that what we would do is we would actually plus up spending by, you know, $100 billion or more. We would, you know, perhaps put in a less than favorable fix to the DACA fix. We, you know, that we might bail out insurance companies. All of those things are troubling issues. And when people are trying to get out of town around Christmas, it can become a real issue. So I am optimistic that we'll figure out a plan. But as of, you know, today, right now, I think the vote tomorrow is still very much up in the air in terms of having enough votes to pass. I don't see a government shutdown, but I do see a lot more details that have to be made for what we do next year.
So what we're looking at tomorrow's vote is a continuing resolution that would carry funding for the government up until December 22nd, at which time you're going to have to do another one leading into the next year. Is that correct?
That is correct. That or perhaps a different CR where we actually work with the defense and then adding in where we fund the defense for a full year and do a CR that curtails it.
Well, let me, before I let you go, also moving at the same time, which would suggest that Congress can walk and chew gum at the same time. Maybe. I'm not certain, but maybe. You've got tax reform going on, and Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell today said that he's almost certain Republicans will be able to pass a tax reform plan before the end of the year. True or false?
I'm very optimistic on a scale of 1 to 10, with 10 being the most optimistic. I'm at a 9.5, that we get something done on tax reform. That being said, the last two or three days are going to be critical. I believe I originally said we'd have something on the president's desk by December 21st. I actually think now it could be as early as December 19th. Based on the progress we're making. I don't want to put any false deadlines out there, but I think it's a matter of weeks now, not months, before we get relief for the American taxpayer and that it actually does get done.
Well, it certainly be nice to have that under the tree for Christmas. Anything Indeed. We need to be looking at and our listeners need to be watching for here in these final few weeks of 2017?
Well, I think probably the biggest thing is there's going to be a whole lot of other issues that are coming up, and those other issues will be immigration-related issues. Those will be spending issues. Those will be how we fund the military, how we provide, and what we do in terms of supplementals for the disasters in Florida and Texas and Puerto Rico. All of that's coming up, but stay tuned for those debates if you can.
So, in other words, people need to keep listening to Washington Watch so they know what's going on.
Without a doubt, you get it first, Tony. You and I, you get the behind-the-scenes story many times before anybody else hears it.
All right, my friend, Congressman Mark Meadows, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. I'll see you soon.
All right, very good. Thanks.
All right, Congressman Mark Meadows of North Carolina, chairman of the House Freedom Caucus. We were actually at an event last night talking about a number of these things. And, you know, a lot happening, and it's going to go up to Christmas, and that's always dangerous because they'll push. And this is why Mark and the Freedom Caucus tried to get a longer CR that would go beyond December the 22nd, because everybody's gonna want to get out of town, and who knows what's gonna be in that spending bill. All right, when we come back, Eric Steckelbeck joins us to talk more about the implications of today's decision by Donald Trump on the embassy in Jerusalem. Don't go away.
This Christmas season, give with purpose and meaning, a gift that protects life, marriage, and religious liberty. At Family Research Council, our mission is to promote these three core values in public policy and the culture from a Christian worldview. We are working to ensure that our religious liberty is defended in the public square, that human life at all stages is protected, and that family values are promoted in our country's public policies. Your giving can make an eternal difference for your community and for our future generations. And if you give between now and December 31st to Family Research Council, your gift will be matched, meaning it will be doubled by a generous donor. And any donation is tax deductible. Give with purpose this Christmas season. Text FRC to 444-999. Again, that is text FRC to 444-999. Thank you for standing with us. FRC wishes you and your family a Merry Christmas and a blessed New Year. Having a hard time finding that right gift for your family and friends? Need some ideas? Check out Family Research Council's online store and browse the latest books, mugs, trendy t-shirts, baby bibs, tote bags, and more. Your purchase of these items will support FRC in our mission to advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and the culture from a Christian worldview. Some of our exclusive items include a unique in-house design DC t-shirt featuring a skyline of the monuments in our nation's capital, a cute baby bib with some pro-life flair, and a stylish tote bag with a Bible verse from 1 John 4:19 that says, "We love because He first loved us." Go to frc.org/store now to start shopping. Again, that is frc.org/store. Thank you for standing with us. FRC wishes you and your family a very Merry Christmas and a blessed New Year.
Is being right enough to win an election? Many tend to believe that being right, in the sense of being factually correct, is sufficient to win in politics. Unfortunately, political history proves otherwise. A candidate who organizes and communicates the best will beat the opposition, no matter how right the other side is. Christians who are running for public office have a moral obligation to study and learn how to win. They must discover the real nature of politics. Robert Arnakis knows how to win. As Senior Director for the Leadership Institute, the nation's premier public policy training organization, he has 15 years of grassroots organizing, campaign, fundraising, and communications experience, and has established himself as one of the country's top political trainers. Here, Mr. Arnakis discusses the real nature of politics and how to overcome the odds to win an election. Go to frc.org/speakers to view this timely discussion.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Glad to have you along on this Wednesday afternoon. If you'd like to partner with the Family Research Council that makes Washington Watch possible, give us a call, 866-FRC-RADIO, 866-FRC-RADIO. We have folks standing by to take your phone call. During the month of December, we have a generous donor that is willing to match anything that you give. So call 866-FRC-RADIO. All right, as mentioned, President Donald Trump announced today that he is formally recognizing Jerusalem as Israel's capital. Back in 1995, Congress passed an act which has been for the last 22 years. Every 6 months, a president is issued a waiver saying for national security reasons, we're not going to move the embassy. Well, today the president announced the process begins. We will move the embassy of the United States from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. What impact might this have on relations in the Middle East, in that region of the country? With us now is Eric Sneckelbeck, former Middle East reporter for CBN and host of Watchmen on TBN. Eric, welcome to Washington Watch.
Tony, great to be with you.
Now, I know you know this area quite well. You spent a lot of time over there. Significant decision today?
Very significant. I would argue, Tony, a history-altering decision today. This date, December 6, 2017, will go down with May 14, 1948, the declaration of the modern state of Israel, as just a monumental event. Look, in terms, Tony, of stability, we hear the pundits gnashing their teeth and saying, this is going to cause instability in the Middle East. Excuse me, where have they been the past 7 years? Instability is the name of the game in the Middle East, whether it's Iran marching for nukes, arming Hezbollah, Hamas rearming, Iraq, Syria, Yemen ceasing to be nation states. So I'm not worried about stability. I think this is long overdue. Number one, it's keeping with U.S. law. The 1995 Jerusalem Embassy Act declared that, yes, the U.S. is going to move its embassy to Jerusalem. It's long overdue. Look, Tony, we have our capitals in Berlin, Paris, London, Beijing, Moscow. Why don't we have our embassy in the eternal capital of Israel, Jerusalem? So today rectifies that situation, and it's long overdue.
Isn't this one of those rare examples of the use of strength without having to use the military?
Absolutely. I think diplomatic strength, Tony, I think that's a great point. You know, look, President Trump made this promise during the campaign. This was something that was clearly on his heart for a long time, and he followed through. It shows that, look, the entire world, whether it's the EU, China, Iran, obviously, Russia, the Arab and Muslim world, they're vehemently against this move, the UN, yet against the grain. He went against the grain, did President Trump, and he made this move regardless. It was a bold move, and he's bucking the rest of the world by doing it. But I think history will show that he did the right thing without a doubt, and his stature will grow because of this move.
So, Eric, how do you think the Muslim nations in that region are going to respond to this?
Interesting, Tony. Number one, you'll see the likes of Hamas and Hezbollah and Iran. They'll be openly hostile about it, obviously. Then you'll have the Sunni Arab states, Saudi Arabia, Egypt, Jordan in particular. Now, they will issue public statements condemning the move. But, Tony, behind the scenes, these nations are working very closely with Israel. There's back channels going on, intelligence sharing, for one reason,
right.
Iran.
Right.
That Iran,
right.
Hezbollah, Assad regime axis, aided and abetted by Russia and Vladimir Putin. That is the main concern of the Saudis, Egypt, Jordan. They see that growing Iranian superpower as an existential threat to their regimes. So they might not be happy about the embassy moving to Jerusalem, but at the end of the day, they are far more concerned about that Iran-Hezbollah threat that is at their doorstep.
I think that's absolutely correct. I can't speak for Saudi Arabia, but just recently met with the Egyptian president, Sisi, and the Jordanian prince, Abdullah, and the conversation, this did come up in the conversation, and there was clearly this is not what they would embrace, but the public statements I have seen in the last 24 hours from them, much stronger than what we heard privately. And also, you're absolutely correct, they have, especially Jordan, the Jordanian intelligence folks work very, very closely with the Israelis because it's to the mutual benefit that they have security at their borders and they keep these radicals in check.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, not only the Iran threat, the Hezbollah threat, Tony, but the ISIS threat within these countries. Look, over Thanksgiving weekend, we saw a mosque bombed by ISIS in Egypt's Sinai Peninsula, over 300 people killed. So there's the Iran threat, there's the ISIS threat within. At the end of the day, they line up, do these nations, Jordan, Egypt, the Saudis, they line up much more closely with Israel and the United States right now than they do, obviously, with Iran or the Assad regime. And they're aware of that. They're aware of Iran's designs. At the end of the day, the Iranians, look, this Iranian regime would love to get their hands on Mecca and Medina, the holiest sites in Islam, which are controlled by Saudi Arabia, obviously. Iran has huge regional ambitions. They're feeling very good about themselves right now. They feel like they have the wind at their backs. They have a powerful patron in Russia, which is now has a beachhead in Syria. So Iran feels good about itself. The Saudis are very, very concerned, to say the least. So Israel is looking pretty darn good if you're the Saudis, Egyptians, or Jordanians right now.
So, Eric, what type of security threats can we see? I mean, are we going to see just kind of moderate, possibly, attacks? Or, I mean, is it just going to be a lot of saber rattling, or could something else come from this?
I think you'll see a lot of saber rattling, Tony, absolutely. I think when it comes to the Palestinians in the West Bank and Hamas, you might see more than saber rattling. You might certainly see an uptick. They're calling for 3 days of rage. Now, many times over the past few years, Palestinians have called for days of rage. We've seen this in 2015, for instance. They did the same thing. We had a wave of stabbing attacks in Israel carried out
right,
by Palestinians.
Right.
I hate to say, God forbid, you could see some activity like that. But I believe the Israelis are prepared for that. I know the U.S. is prepared for it. We prepared our consulates and embassies around the world for any kind of radical or jihadist or terror activity. So I think we are prepared. You're going to see a lot of bluster. You might see definitely some attacks carried out by Palestinians. But I think overall, you're not going to see a major, major kind of attack or terror.
All right. Eric Steckelbeck, thank you so much for joining us today. Great to talk with you, my friend.
Thank you, Tony. Anytime.
All right. To find out more, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com, and follow the links over. I think this is a tremendous example of leadership, and I think this is why so many evangelicals and others support this president, is because he's not being intimidated by the bullies and by the terrorists, and he's doing what's in the best interest of America and what he committed to do. All right, coming up next, former White House chief strategist for President Trump and executive chairman of Breitbart News, Steve Bannon, is here with the backstory on this historic move. Don't go away. We're back after this.
Spend a semester in Washington, D.C. with Family Research Council through our internship program. You will get a chance to experience the rich history and culture of our nation's capital and be immersed in the most important political debates of our day by working to advance family values in a professional work environment under the oversight and mentorship of FRC experts and scholars. The internship program includes free housing just a block away from Capitol Hill and the Supreme Court, as well as a paid stipend. Learn more at frc.org/internships.
Is being right enough to win an election? Political history proves otherwise. The candidate who organizes and communicates the best will beat the opposition, no matter how right the other side is. Christians who are running for public office have a moral obligation to study and learn how to win. They must discover the real nature of politics. Robert Ornakis is one of the country's top political trainers. Hear him discuss the real nature of politics and how to overcome the odds to win an election at frc.org/speakers.
The Family Research Council had the pleasure of hosting Dr. Michael Paulson to speak about how Christians can respond to arguments against religious liberty. Dr. Paulson argues that religion is different and deems exemptions within the law. A religious person believes in God, and God's sovereignty requires complete devotion, whereas government only requires allegiance and civil duties. The Constitution itself treats religion differently, giving America religious liberty and the freedom to exercise. Visit frc.org/university to hear more about this issue.
If you had to make a law, where would you start? America's founding fathers determined law from a fixed source, God, but culture has shifted the focus to man's self-determined law. If truth is no longer determined by God, it becomes subjective and open to interpretation. In an incisive new paper, Peter Johnston traces the origins of these dangerous trends in American law and the importance of staying true to our founding principles. To view FRC's new publication, go to frc.org/decay.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire, Jack Frost nipping at your nose, Yuletide carols being sung by a choir, and folks dressed up like Eskimos.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Thanks so much for joining us. You know, in a politically correct world, that's chestnuts roasting on a safely contained, eco-friendly, non-toxic outdoor fire. Just wanted to be set the record straight there. All right, you're listening to Washington Watch, the website, TonyPerkins.com. Hey, it's Christmas. Let's have a little fun here. President Trump calling for calm and maintain the status quo in Israel in response to the historic announcement this afternoon declaring Jerusalem as Israel's capital, actually declaring that our embassy will be moved from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem and to start that process. Now, this is something that went back to the campaign. It was something that a lot of people, evangelicals and others, found very important in determining their support for Donald Trump. Joining us now is Steve Bannon, executive chairman of Breitbart News and former White House chief strategist in the Trump administration and someone who called for this to occur. Steve, welcome to Washington Watch.
Great day, Tony, to be on your show. I tell you, it's a great day, a historic day in American history and a very historic day, I think, in the history of Israel.
This is something, Steve, that you were advocating for, pushing for, and I'm sure you're very pleased to see it happen today. The backstory here, how hard was this to get it done?
Oh, my gosh. We had planned on doing this day one. We actually worked on the transition. We thought it was a fundamental promise, a commitment that President Trump had made to the American people. And we particularly understood how important this was to the evangelical community and to the conservative Catholic community. And so to me, you know, I had that, Tony, you were in my office many, many times, what we call the war room in the White House, where I had the whiteboards with all the promises, in moving the capital to Jerusalem was a central, you know, was a top five. And I will tell people, it was, you know, the two things I had the hardest time pushing forward was moving the capital to Jerusalem and designating the Muslim Brotherhood as a terrorist organization. It's just the, I don't want to call it the deep state, but let's say the national security and foreign affairs apparatus, both on Capitol Hill and also inside the bureaucracy, just made it incredibly difficult. But I think President Trump showed tremendous courage. And I think for the evangelicals out there, as I've said many times, from the time that Roy Moore defeated Luther Strange back in, I think it was September 26th, every day is like Christmas Day. So I just can't get, I can't wait till tomorrow to unwrap the next package.
Well, so you've got one of two. We've not yet seen the Muslim Brotherhood designated as a foreign terrorist organization. I don't want to get too far from the subject matter, but that's also very important and related to this, to the Middle East. Can we look for that to happen?
Well, I think here's what you are seeing. I mean, all of these are kind of inextricably linked, and that's what remember, President Trump went to Riyadh with that huge Muslim and Arab summit, where he, you know, we made commitment to say, hey, we need to eradicate the financing of radical Islamic jihad in the West. It's also going to help your countries. We will assist you in the modernization process of Islam, but certainly that has to come from inside Islam, inside the Muslim world. And number three, we will start to work with you to confront Persian expansion. I think part of this whole thing was moving the capital to Jerusalem to solidify the nature of the state of Israel, right? I think those are the allies we're going to look to try to tamp down any kind of unrest would be. The Arab nations immediately moved, you know, UAE and Saudi Arabia, to confront Qatar, who's been financing Hamas and the Muslim Brotherhood. And I think that's why today's so historic. President Trump has taken, once again, bold action to complete a campaign promise. He's also taken bold action on really getting to the source of the Muslim Brotherhood, which is the financing that comes out of Qatar and, quite frankly, out of Saudi Arabia.
And
Turkey is, Tony, you're right there. And I think that is why, you know, and I think Christians tonight have to pray. We have to pray for guidance for all the leaders. There's going to be a huge amount of pressure on people in Israel. There's going to be a huge amount of pressure on President Trump. You've already seen the media in kind of a firestorm. And I got to tell you, the guys in Turkey are going to be kicking up. Erdogan's already come out. I think one of his deputies and said it's unacceptable, et cetera. So it's
They're calling for a summit, I believe, there in Turkey of the Islamic countries.
Yes, this is going to. By the way, in that summit, I think they're going to try to designate that an international community of Muslim countries should take over the two holy sites in Mecca and Medina, and also add Jerusalem to that. That they will try to force this and try to break up Saudi Arabia. So it's complicated, but I think bold action. Trump once again cuts through everything, and I believe Tony solidifies his deep relationship with the evangelical and the conservative Catholic community as a man who, you know, has stood up to the opposition party media and taken bold action and delivered on a fundamental promise to the people of Israel, the people of the United States of America, and to the people who voted for him.
Can you stick around? We're up against a break, but I want to follow up on that because I think it's a significant point in the time frame of all this. So I want to talk about that if you'll hang on, Steve.
Sure.
All right, Steve Bannon is going to stay with us. We're going to finish our conversation with him on the other side of this break about this historic decision today, an announcement from President Donald Trump that the United States will be moving its embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, recognizing the eternal, indivisible capital of Israel, Jerusalem. We're going to finish that conversation on the other side of this break. Don't go away. You're listening to Washington Watch.
Are you interested in making a real impact in public policy and culture? And are you looking for an internship experience at a Christian organization in the heart of our nation's capital? If the answer is yes, spend a semester in Washington, D.C. with Family Research Council through our internship program. You will get a chance to experience our country's rich history and culture and be immersed in the most important political debates of our day. Further, you will develop the skills required to advance faith, family, and freedom in our nation. Family Research Council's internship program includes free housing just a block away from Capitol Hill and the Supreme Court, as well as a paid stipend. As an intern, you will gain an invaluable public policy experience in a professional work environment under the oversight and mentorship of FRC experts and scholars. Learn more about the FRC internship program at frc.org/internships. Again, that is frc.org/internships.
Having a hard time finding that right gift for your family and friends? Need some ideas? Check out Family Research Council's online store and browse the latest books, mugs, trendy t-shirts, baby bibs, tote bags, and more. Your purchase of these items will support FRC in our mission to advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and the culture from a Christian worldview. Some of our exclusive items include a unique in-house design DC t-shirt featuring a skyline of the monuments in our nation's capital, a cute baby bib with some pro-life flair, and a stylish tote bag with a Bible verse from 1 John 4:19 that says, "We love because He first loved us." Go to frc.org/store now to start shopping. Again, that is frc.org/store. Thank you for standing with us. FRC wishes you and your family a very Merry Christmas and a blessed New Year.
If you had to make a law, where would you start? America's founding fathers determined law from a fixed source, God, but culture has shifted the focus to man's self-determined law. If truth is no longer determined by God, it becomes subjective and open to interpretation. In an incisive new paper, Peter Johnston traces the origins of these dangerous trends in American law and the importance of staying true to our founding principles. To view FRC's new publication, go to frc.org/decay.
The Family Research Council had the pleasure of hosting Dr. Michael Paulson to speak about how Christians can respond to arguments against religious liberty. Dr. Paulson argues that religion is different and deems exemptions within the law. A religious person believes in God, and God's sovereignty requires complete devotion, whereas government only requires allegiance and civil duties. The Constitution itself treats religion differently, giving America religious liberty and the freedom to exercise. Visit frc.org/university to hear more about this issue.
Of a white Christmas, just like the ones I used to know.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it's at T. Perkins. All right. Steve Bannon, my guest, discussing the president's historic announcement today that the United States would be moving its embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, the capital of Israel. Now, Steve, before the break, you said this was something that you wanted to do, that the president wanted to do, you thought could be done the first day, but yet we're, you know, not quite a year into his administration, 11 months. And it's done, which we're excited about, but it took a while. There was opposition. What broke that logjam? Why do you think now the president is moving forward on this, or the administration?
Well, I think one of the things is it shouldn't be lost on people. I think ever since the Luther Strange, you know, defeat by Judge Moore down in Alabama, I think the president has become even more aware of the promises he made to the American people. And to the people that that elected him, and it's a lot of unchecked boxes. I think he's checking as many as possible. I think this he realized early on that it was the right thing to do. That Jerusalem was the capital of Israel. It was the right thing to do. It would be manifested one of the ways by the United States moving its embassy there. You know, I'm not a big fan of this kind of this delay until it gets built or wherever they're talking about. I would rather do it sooner rather than later. I also understand all the foreign policy geniuses that have gotten the United States in the mess we're in throughout the world. They're saying it's, you know, couldn't have done the first day. It should take years of analysis and all that. But President Trump is a man that believes in bold action, and right. It's all bold action today.
So let me see if I'm tracking, and correct me if I'm wrong. So there was some opposition from some that see it differently within the administration. You tie this to the Luther Strange sitting senator replacement for Jeff Sessions in the Senate for Alabama. He is defeated in the Republican election there by Roy Moore, who's in a runoff there. And the president got crossways with his base on that race. And so he's kind of, is he using this then with his some of those around him that may not share those same perspectives
well,
views?
I think he's gone back. I think he's gone back to basics, which I think is
okay,
great. I think he's, by the way, I do believe he's had advisors that have told him that he needs, quote unquote, quick wins. And those quick wins can come by basically dumping the commitments he made to the American people, because he's not a politician. He's a leader, and he made certain commitments, like build
but
a wall.
But isn't that why the depth of his support is, like, unparalleled? I mean, you look at the numbers, and I know you look at the numbers because you helped calculate the win, but he has not lost support among evangelicals. It's solidified because he's kept promises.
That, exactly. That's what I think that, you know, he's got a strong base. That base will only grow over time because, as a leader, he's going to get things done. He's going to take action. That's why people remember in this election, there was a rejection of the permanent political class. And, you know, Trump manifests that commitment to the American people to break that class. And I think that's why he goes back and just does the basics that he has to do, that he committed to. The base gets more solidified and starts to grow. I think his, you know, with this retorquing of the religious liberties through the Justice Department, and now with, you know, even a bigger commitment pull out of UNESCO and to do this with Jerusalem, I think, you know, he's done a terrific job with the evangelicals and conservative Catholics, and it's only going to get better.
Well, let me say, as one who's been involved in the political realm for over two decades in the evangelical ranks and having held office and all that, understand the dynamics of it. I would say, yes, you are correct. The support is growing as the president is keeping promises, because I will tell you that's an anomaly in this world, someone in the political place that keeps their promises. But let me tell you this also, I'm going to ask you this. I'm not going to tell you this. I'm going to ask you this because I want to understand. Does the president understand that that support remains as long as he is faithful to keep the commitments that are made? But once he strays from that, then that support begins to weaken. Does he understand that?
Yes, I think he. I think the president does. There's certain people around him that I don't think understood that, and I think, you know, gave him some bad advice. I think the president understands it quite clear. And that's, I think, every day you're seeing just going back to the basics and hitting on these, you know, hitting on these commitments. The one storm cloud I think we have on the horizon is DACA, and I think there's always been some confusion, right, about what DACA really means, what's the impact of it. I noticed, I think, quite positively, I think the president's tweeted, we need a wall, we need to build a wall, I think a half a dozen times over the last two or three weeks. So I just hope and pray that the president's priorities are build a wall first, talk about everything else later. So it's...
I don't think there's any way to solve that problem until you secure the border. You got to secure the border first. Steve Bannon.
1,000%.
Steve Bannon, so great to be with you. Thanks for joining us. It was good to see you earlier today, and I know you've got a busy schedule ahead of you. I want to wish you a Merry Christmas. Hopefully we'll connect before then. But if not, enjoy time with friends and family during the holidays.
Thanks, Tony. Love being on the show. Thank you, sir. Bye.
All right. Steve Bannon, former chief strategist at the White House for President Donald Trump, executive chairman of Breitbart News. So what do you think? Pleased with the president's announcement today that the United States is moving forward with recognizing Jerusalem as the capital of Israel by moving our embassy. Every other country, our embassy is in the capital city. You pleased with this announcement? What do you think? 866-372-7234. Got time for a few phone calls, so I want to hear from you. 866-372-7234. 866-372-7234. The number to weigh in on this today. The president's historic announcement that the United States will be moving its embassy from Tel Aviv to the capital of Israel, Jerusalem. Folks, I think it's extremely significant. And I think this shows, as Steve Bannon was just talking about, I think it shows bold, courageous leadership. it looks counterintuitive or sounds counterintuitive, but I would say this actually advances the prospects for peace in the Middle East. You say, how? I mean, you got all this. I mean, this is going to create more tension. I believe that it moves us closer to peace because it will put the United States in a position of strength. It will show that we have a leader that is going to do what he said he was going to do, not just about moving the embassy, which he did say that, but that he's going to put America first. American interest will come first, not concern about what, you know, some faction over in, you know, the Middle East might do or what others might say. We've been held hostage by these little slivers they're numbers-wise very insignificant, very loud, but they have controlled America and our relationship with one of our key allies because we've been fearful of how they might react. I think it's time just to tell them to shut up. If you want to come to the table and talk peace, here are the parameters, and I think that's what the president said today. All right, let's go to Oklahoma where Carla is on the line. Carla, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you for taking my call, Tony. I am more than elated. I'm 73 years old, and when President Trump did this, I said, if he does that, I will be out on foot in 2020 to give my all to get him elected.
Well, I will pass that along, Carla. Thank you so much for calling in today and listening to Washington Watch. Let's go to Gail in Tennessee. Gail, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you for taking my call, Tony. Appreciate the program. Psalms 106, verses 4 and 5. Remember me, O Lord, when you shall save unto your people. Come to my aid when you save them, that I may enjoy the prosperity of the chosen ones, that I may share in the joy of your nation and join your inheritance in giving praise. That's exactly what I put on my White House comment line for President Trump to read, Psalms 106, verses 4 and 5, because that's what has happened today for America and for the nation of Israel. He does not kick the can down the road. He's not a can kicker. But he goes to work every day, kicking water uphill, keeping his promises. And I'm so thrilled that in this season that we're celebrating the birth of Christ, that Jerusalem is all center and all important to everything that's valuable to our lives.
Well, well said, Gail. Thank you so much for calling in today. Yeah, the president doesn't kick the can. He may kick some other stuff, but he's not kicking the can. All right, let's go to Iris in Texas. Iris, welcome to Washington Watch.
I just want to say, Tony, that I have never been prouder of our president. I'm a Messianic Jew, have been for half of my life. And my family on my mother's side were Cohenites, so I go way, way back in the Old Testament. And this is just such a thrill that when I saw it live on TV, I literally cried because it was such a fulfillment for the prophetic prophecy throughout the Old Testament and now to see fulfillment. And I have prayed earnestly since he made that promise. And today is a great day, and I'm glad and so proud of him for obeying God rather than man. And that was not an easy thing for him to do. So accolades to our president. And thank you, AFR, for tremendous coverage for this historic event.
Well, thank you, Iris, for listening and for calling in. It is absolutely historic event. And my statement earlier today that I released to the press on this is that this does bring America more in line with the biblical view of Israel and Jerusalem. The scripture is clear. It is the eternal, undivided city, capital city of Israel. And today our recognition of this goes a long way in making that statement. Iris, thank you so much for the call. Let's go to Kansas where Joseph is on the line. Joseph, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hello. Well, first I just want to thank you, Tony, for all the for how the Lord is using you. And I think this is a wise decision by President Trump to lead with strength and be bold. And as we know, according to God's word, those who bless Israel will be blessed. So I think this all ties in and basically the right thing to do on top of everything. So I'm just elated also that that President Trump made this bold move, and I think it was a wise choice.
Well, I could not agree with you more, Joseph. Thank you so much for calling, and thank you for the kind comments. Look, this is the time in which bold, decisive leadership is needed. And that's not just politically speaking. Look, I think as Christians, we need to be bold, courageous, decisive, loving and kind and compassionate, you know, filled with grace and mercy. But I tell you what, unequivocal in our stand for truth. All right, very quickly, going to go to Daniel in Louisiana. Daniel, welcome to Washington Watch.
How you doing, Pastor Perkins?
I'm well. I'm well. Your thoughts?
Yes, sir. I agree with the president. I'm proud of him for this. I support him 100%. I like what you said yesterday about how David moved the ark from one place to Jerusalem, and he was dancing with all his might. And as President Trump said today, we're just acknowledging reality. It's just.
We're coming in, as a country, we're coming in alignment with the truth and recognizing it. You're absolutely right. Daniel, thanks so much for the call. Thanks so much for listening. Look, it's a significant day, very significant day. But here's something, folks, I want to challenge you to do. Scripture tells us to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, all right? And I think we need to redouble that effort to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. In fact, I want to do that right now. I want you to join with me all across this country, and let's pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Father, we thank you for the decision today made by our president. Lord, a decision that required courage and boldness, a significant decision that brings our nation more in line with biblical truth and history. But we pray for our friends in Israel and for our friends in the Middle East, our Palestinian friends as well, who want to live in peace. And we pray, Lord, that we might get a managed peace in that region. We know that the true peace will only come when the Prince of Peace returns. And we long for that day. But as we celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ right there in Bethlehem, an area under Palestinian control, we pray for the Palestinian people as well as the people, the Israeli people, the Jewish people. We pray for that region that peace might come, but specifically today with this decision, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We thank you, Lord, for this historic day, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Folks, continue to pray. Continue to pray. And pray for our president. Pray for our vice president, that God would continue to use them. And by all means, let us stand strong for truth. And I will leave you with this. The Apostle Paul tells us in Ephesians 6, when we've done everything we can do, when we've prayed, when we've prepared, and when we've taken our stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is a production of the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. For more information on anything you heard today, or if you'd like to find out how you can support the ongoing efforts of the Family Research Council, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our new watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.